5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Welcome to The Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a dad
and a mom
talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in our own circus.
We are not professionals. The only credentials we have are four kids. So do your research and find what works for you.
Hello, fellow ringleaders. I am Barry Ricks, and next to me is Crystal Ricks.
Woo!
So welcome to episode 12?
12?
Yeah.
We need to start writing that down before we start.
But, you know.
Probably episode 12.
It gives everyone something to laugh at us before we go.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome, guys. And it's been a... What kind of a week has it been?
A roller coaster.
Roller coaster
of love.
Roller coaster.
Oh, I did it the wrong spot.
Oh.
I killed it.
Jumped the gun.
The roller coaster, not the gun.
All right. Well, to start off with, Crystal broke her foot. No, not really. But we were getting ready to do the show, and she dropped the chair on her foot, and she proceeded to scream Crystal profanities, which are profanities you might hear from...
Fudge Monkey!
Yeah,
that's what I always
say. A little child. Which is great, and that's another reason why I love her. Even when she gets extremely hurt, she doesn't swear. She says, Fudge Monkey. You're my Fudge Monkey.
No, that is like the foulest language that I could think of. That's the F word.
Fudge Monkey!
Oh, fudge.
Oh, Christmas story.
Good job.
Yeah. So that was a fun, eventful thing right before we got started. But
I'm icing my foot right now.
But it's late. It's 11 o'clock. Why are we recording so late? Because we decided that it would be fun to watch the Oscars. And
It was.
We went over to some friend's house and we each filled out our own ballot to guess who won. And Crystal beat me. And
I get a foot rub.
Yep, a foot rub. We like to bet back rubs and foot rubs. So, Crystal won.
But we didn't win.
We didn't win. Our friend James, he beat us down. I think he was like, you were the closest to him, and he had like five more than you did.
That's okay.
So, but no, it was fun. So, we kept our kids up until now. And so
we
kind of talked about this too. It's never the next day that is awful. So on Tuesday,
it's going to be
really, really bad because the kids are going to be like, whoa!
Yeah, tomorrow they're going to be great. And we're going to be like, wow, that wasn't too bad.
That was too bad.
Then the next day, that's when it gets
you. That's when it happens. So. Yeah.
So I guess we're not as prepared for this as I thought, but. I guess we can start.
Since it's late, you know, we're kind of throwing this together. But we wanted to make sure we were consistent and brought you guys shows so you could hear our lovely voices.
I'll start with something that's kind of both of our story. So.
Okay, you go.
And then you'll go.
And then I'm going to go put the ice cream in the freezer that I forgot to put in the freezer.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
Shoot, well, then maybe I won't start with that story because I was supposed to do it with you.
I'll start with something else.
Okay.
So
I'm all alone right now. So on Tuesday, I finally got to go back to Grayson's class because my oldest son, if you haven't been following us, I volunteer every week in my son's class. But for January, I haven't been able to go because all of us have been sick. But we're finally over everything. Knock on wood. Hopefully it stays that way. So I couldn't think of what to do. And I am a procrastinator, so the night before, actually, I think it was the morning of, I was looking on the internet for what I could do for the class, and I thought, hey, the Monday was President's Day, so I'll go over stuff about presidents. How fun will that be? And I had a president craft, and we made these little Abraham Lincoln sticks with the penny, I'm not really explaining this very well.
I'm back!
Yay, save the ice cream. So I made these little bookmarks with a pop, with a, like a tongue depressor sized popsicle stick. And we made a big stovetop pipe, stovetop hat. And we glued a penny onto the popsicle stick. So it looked like little Abraham Lincoln and his face was on there. So to start off the thing, I got pictures on my iPad of presidents and of the White House and, currency to go over. And I showed the pictures to the kids. The first picture I showed was President Obama. And so I hold up this picture of him, like his regular picture, and I say, okay, who knows who this is? And almost probably 98% of the class raised their hand, and they're like, oh, that's President Obama! And I look over at our son, and he's got this face like, huh? Like, no clue. He was you could tell he was just racking his brain, like, who is that? I think I know who that is. So I didn't know President Obama. And then I held up George Washington, and I'm like, who's this? And all the kids, well, not all of them, but most of them raised their hand, and I was pretty surprised, and I look over at my kid, and he's got that same face. Huh? Who? And then, so I held up Abraham Lincoln, and I'm like, who's this? And a few of the kids knew who he was, but I saw my son's hand shot up, and I was like, yes, Grayson, who is this? And he was like, a leprechaun!
Yep.
Because he had the big, it's the one with the big hat. And I laughed. All the kids laughed, and most of them agreed that Abraham Lincoln looks like a leprechaun.
It's true.
So my kid does know our presidents, and he thinks that the forefather is a leprechaun.
Yep.
Our founding fathers were fantasy.
Fathers.
We are formed by gold at the end of the rainbow.
Yeah. So we determined that it's probably a good idea to teach our kids about some, you know, presidents and history and stuff like that.
I felt slightly ashamed, actually.
Yeah.
It was a little embarrassing. I'm glad his teacher wasn't in there at the time, because I would have been like, yeah. Anyway, so on top of that, what was really horrible, and I don't think I told you this part. So my craft, I had a penny for each kid in the class to glue on their thing. So I pull out this bag of pennies at the start, and all the kids go, oh, is that for the donation jar? And I was like, what? And they point at the teacher's desk, and there is a jar on there called Pennies for Penny. And apparently there's this little girl who's, oh, I guess that's okay that I mentioned her name, because that was the name of it,
yeah.
Who's in the hospital, like with some severe disease or something. And they're collecting pennies for her. And I had a bag of pennies for our craft. And they thought I brought them to donate. And I was like, no, these are for the craft. And so I hand out all the pennies. And the kids are like, can't we put them in the jar? And I was like, no, these are for the craft. And then they all look sad. And I realized, like, holy cow, I'm preventing these poor children from doing something really
from
kind.
Donating.
I'm like, glue your pennies on a useless popsicle stick. Just no to the little girl that might be dying.
Just so you could throw it away when you get home.
No. And so finally I realized, like, I feel like a dictator, like an evil person. This must be what Hitler felt like.
Wow.
I'm just saying, I felt horrible that I was like, no.
My wife's comparing herself to Hitler. Awesome.
You cannot do good. You will glue that thing on a useless thing. So finally I was like, okay. Because they really, they looked so downtrodden.
Disheartened.
I felt so bad. And so I said, okay, whoever wants to can come up here and stick their penny in the jar. And if you do that, I'll give you a little slip of paper and you can just draw a face on it. So, like, there was, like, a third of the class that wanted to donate their pennies. And I was like, oh, that's sweet. I'm glad that I changed my mind. But then those kids came up to me and they're like, okay, can I have another penny? I was like, why? You donated yours. And they're like, yeah, I donated it. So can I have another one? And I was like, no! Ow! Draw your stinking face! So it turned out to be horrible. I mean, they had fun, but I just felt like the worst person ever. Like, no, you cannot help people. Do your dang craft. Worry about yourself.
You're such a bad person.
I know. I donated the extra 2 pennies at the end, though.
There you go.
To make up for it. It was awful. So, yeah. Abraham Lincoln, leprechaun. Not vampire hunter.
Yeah.
And evil Nazi mom.
But, before that, on Monday, we had fun going to buffet pizza place here in town.
That's the high point of the roller coaster.
And part of the buffet is connected is a little fun arcade. Most of the games are like ticket games to win tickets. So you had like skee ball and, you know, a lot of the button mashing win tickets type games. Not very many like video games.
Now this is the plan that we were gonna do on Valentine's Day. Go out for dinner and video games, arcade games.
So, but it was lots of fun. We always have lots of fun doing that. You know, spent some money on lunch and then spent some money playing games. And we were there for a little while and it was fun.
Okay.
We all had a good time.
So the best part of that day, that was the parent validation day because we had all of our kids combine their tickets and then we split them equally so they could pick a prize. But Grayson, our oldest, wanted this boomerang that cost too much for what he had. And he was flipping out that he wanted the boomerang. And so we were like, just stop, pick something over here. You can't go over there to look at tickets. But our daughter, our 5-year-old, she was like, I'll get the boomerang. Like, I'll share the boomerang. And so she was willing to give up her tickets to make her brother happy. And then when the guy asked what color they wanted. I knew Grayson really wanted the red one because that's his favorite color. But he picked Jay's favorite color. And he came up to me and he said, I picked her color because she was helping me. And I was like, we are good parents. Like, we're doing something right.
They shared the boomerang.
And then we went to the park and threw the boomerang around. And it was one of those days. Usually when we go to the park, it ends with everyone like, I just want to go home. No one's playing with me and it's cold and blah, blah, blah. So it was kind of a magical day. Am I right?
No, it was great. It was a great day. Yeah, we went to the park and threw it around and yeah, no, it was a good day. I can't think of anything else bad about it.
Yeah, no, it was. Oh, and we watched another movie. Oh, that is the day we got home and our kids. We rented another movie to watch with the kids. And our oldest, though, he was like being ornery when we got home. I don't even know what was going on. And so he didn't want to watch the movie. And we were
It was Box Trolls.
Yeah. And he was so adamant, like, I don't want to watch this. But it was unusually uncharacteristic.
He's kind of like being crazy adamant about it.
Yeah. Usually he likes to watch movies. And so we were like, well, you don't get to play iPad. You don't get to do anything else. This is family time. So you can go sit in your room or you can watch the movie.
Well, we even said he could play with his toys in his room.
Yeah.
We just said,
no electronics.
We said, no electronics, but you can go play with toys in your room. And he was throwing a pretty, like, he wasn't like throwing like a tantrum. He was just being very stubborn about the situation.
Yeah. And he marched to his room and we were flabbergasted. Like, you're picking sitting on your bed over watching a movie?
And then he fell asleep.
Yeah.
Which is way weird because he doesn't take naps.
He has
ever
to have like a burning fever.
He hasn't taken a nap like that. Like,
he stopped taking naps
at one.
He stopped taking naps a week before we brought home his little sister.
Yeah.
And that was terrible because I needed a rest and he ruined it. Like, just hasn't napped since he was 2.
Yeah.
So that's been, it was, but it was like, we're like, oh.
He was just so tired.
That's why you were really grumpy and we wanted to kill you.
Because he was just super tired.
Yeah. So it was kind of one of those moments where you're like, shoot, I was getting so angry and he was just tired.
Yeah.
I hate those moments.
Yeah.
Speaking of those moments, this Friday, every Friday we go to this music class. Me and the girls and Jackson. And so this Friday, I waited a little too long because I was still like, should we go or should we not? And the girls wanted to. And so I kept saying, I'm going to go get ready. So get your shoes on and meet me in the bathroom. I'll do your hair. And so I go get ready and I come out and they're still in their pajamas watching a movie at the TV, which I should have just turned it off. I should know better.
Yeah.
I've been through this my whole life. But so I was like, turn off the TV, get your shoes on and I'll do your hair.
Do it now!
The older one goes and does it. She's usually really good. And so I do her hair and I come out and the little girl had pushed play again after the older one paused it and was still sitting there in just her underwear watching the movie. And I was like, put your shoes on! Oh, it was so frustrating. I was going to pop a blood vessel out of my neck and just explode. I was hulking.
hulking out.
Yeah, and then so we get in the car, and I'm just, like, gripping the steering wheel, like, I can't believe this. I'm so frustrated. And we get to the place where the class is,
and it was canceled.
There are no cars there. And so I went through all that frustration. And it was kind of one of those things, like, huh, I just learned my lesson.
Yeah.
Like, even if there was class, it wasn't worth it. But not having class, I realized that was totally over the top. And life would have gone on if we were late to music class.
Yeah.
But I made a mountain out of a molehill, which I tend to do. But it was so frustrating. Oh. Nah. So frustrating. I just, ah. So next Friday, I'm just going to let it go.
Let it go. Sorry.
I don't think we'll ever be able to say that again.
I don't. Anyone.
I know.
Like, that's just it's one not of those possible.
Things. Well, there aren't many songs that you say, like, as a regular.
Yeah.
Like, slogan. Yeah. Catchphrase that I can think of.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was my roller coaster down.
Yeah. So, but, yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't have anything else.
Okay, here's a story that I was trying to start with, but then you left me to go save our ice cream.
Yeah.
So I went to an event on Friday.
Friday.
And while I'm there, I get this text message with a picture of a bloody washcloth.
Oh yeah.
That's it. Wait. Let me segue in for you. So I get this bloody washcloth, and the text says, "How's your night going?"
That was for me.
That's all it said. I was like, what happened? That's it. So here's your story.
So we're just, Crystal, yeah, so she went to a thing, and so I was watching the kids, and I think we were watching a show, and our oldest, he can't just sit still ever.
Yeah.
And so he's always moving around, jumping all over the places.
I imagine this is how a normal person would be if they're drinking coffee for the first time.
There you go.
Like, loaded up, double shot of powerhouse coffee.
But, and then all of a sudden, I'm watching the show, and then all of a sudden I hear this, dum, and then, bah! And then, like, I look over and the blood is just pouring out of little Jay's nose.
Ugh, our 5-year-old.
And I'm like, what happened? And Grayson's like, I didn't know she was there. And I'm like, she's laying on the couch. How did you know she was not there? And he jumped right on her face. And so I am ashamed.
Did you say it was coming out of her nose?
Oh, it is.
So it was a bloody nose.
It was pure. Yeah, it was coming, pouring. And I had to, like, it was, and it was, you know how it's like, I saw it coming out of her nose, but then she put her hands up in her nose, and it was coming out so much that it was, like, seeping through the cracks of her fingers and stuff like that. Before I got there with, like, something to clock her nose up, and I held it there for a good 10 minutes before it stopped. And I am ashamed to admit it, but I lost my cool. That's one of the things, I don't know why, but that's one of the things that, like, really bothers me more than a lot of things is when
they hurt each
other. When they hurt each other, especially when it's, like, majorly hurting. And I get more upset that our oldest, when he hurts people, because I'm like, you're the oldest, you should know better. But we know that that's not necessarily true. It's just, they're kids, and kids are going to do crazy things.
And I think that's been the biggest downfall of our couches, is for some reason, they are not things to sit on. They are fun, bouncy things with lots of springs and more length to bounce on.
Yeah. So, no matter how many times we're like, stop jumping on the couch.
I know.
It doesn't matter. But, so, that was a fun adventure. And yeah, so, and continuing on with the violence. So, we're sitting, it's Saturday, and it was pretty, or was it Friday? Was it Saturday?
I don't know. It was just yesterday.
It was nice outside. Yeah, so it was yesterday. And So the kids were outside playing, and Grayson and Lacey were jumping on the trampoline. And then all of a sudden, Grayson comes in, and he's just bawling. And he's holding his face, and he removes his hand from his face, and it's just, like, red as can be. And they had a classic trampoline collision where they're jumping around, and some must have been an odd bounce or something. And the back of Lacey's head smashed into Grayson's face. And now he has a nice-looking shiner.
What was sad is that he came inside. And so we're consoling him and getting him an ice pack. And then we're like, Lacey?
I look outside and Lacey's still on the trap crying. There.
I felt so bad.
I went out and got her, though.
But we are those parents that let our kids jump on the trap alone. Not our baby, but... I mean, we send our kids outside to play.
Yeah.
We can see them from the window, but it was just, it was awful. Although what's been helpful this week is we mentioned last week how we've been working on I statements.
Yeah.
And I feel like most of the time this week I've been nailing it. I've been doing really well, and it's really helped with my temper. It hasn't changed my kids' behavior.
Nope.
We had one day where there was a meltdown, and I kept, like, thinking I statements, even though they were just throwing this huge fit, and I just kept saying it over and over, and it felt so empowering that I held my cool. Like, it didn't really affect my kid.
The best was it this morning? It was this morning. And Lacey gets up.
6:15.
Well, Grayson was up even earlier than that, and Lacey gets up and is just flipping out because... she wants Grayson to go back to bed so she can watch.
She can be alone.
So she could be alone and watch her show. But yet Grayson was gracious enough to turn on her show for her.
Yeah, he said, I'll watch that.
He's like, I'll watch that with you. And she, I don't know how long it was.
I want Grayson to go to bed.
But in my mind, it was forever. And she was sitting next to mommy and I was on the other side of the bed. And, you know, it's early, so we're still in bed. And she's just going, whining and complaining. I want Grayson to go to bed.
But she just repeats
the same
thing. I want
Grayson to go to bed.
That's what gets me. Just the repeating.
And I wanted to rip her cute little head off. And Crystal was amazing. She, like, I don't know how she kept her cool. But she's, like, kept her cool the whole time. And then.
Which is uncommon. That's why he's amazing.
And then Lacey, eventually Crystal was able to talk her down, and then Lacey does like this quick, you know, bipolar switch, and yeah. she's like, oh, so I'll just go watch the show now. And I'm like, why didn't you do that in the first place? And, but Crystal was amazing this morning.
It was funny because I really feel like I've been trying, I was proud of myself. I kept my cool this morning, but she left the room and all of a sudden I hear. And even though he's so tired, I got slow claps of props for my husband.
Yeah. It deserved a slow clap.
That was pretty awesome. But what I was saying with the I statements is a part of it was, part of that destructive communication was saying, like, it's not as bad as it is. And Grayson, since he's been tired a couple days, he stayed up late. He's been so whiny about, like, the littlest things. Like, he'll bump into the wall and be like, oh!
Yeah.
Oh, my arm! And so that's been the hardest thing with the, like, trying not to be destructive is that they want to say, you're fine, just get over it. But he came in that one day from jumping on the trampoline. And I felt like both of us were like, dude, just calm down. Like, you're totally fine. And then he moves his hand, and it's like this huge goose egg on his cheek. And yeah. I was like, oh, my goodness. This I statement stuff is genius. Because I would have felt so bad if I was like, get over it. You're a baby. And then...
yeah, well...
it was totally fine. Or it was huge.
I still wasn't the best, but I did do... better on my not using destructive communication, but there are still moments when I was just like, go away.
Yeah. Well, I told you Friday it was a disaster.
Yeah.
Disaster. So. But that was the night before where we stayed up really late. But
which we're doing again right now.
I know. Woo! So tomorrow, I statements. I feel tired.
Well, you're going to...
Because we're up late.
You're going to be at home with the kids. I'll be at work.
Woo. So, another up that we had was... Our thing with our kids is as soon as we put them in bed, we usually turn on a movie or we play a board game. Lately, it's generally been movies.
Yeah.
And so...
we've just been tired.
You know. And, well, we've been sick, so we got out of our, like, funness. But, so we always say, like, go to bed, it's mommy, daddy time. And so a bunch of times recently, Grayson will knock on our bedroom door and be like, well, I want mommy, daddy time. And we're like, no, this is our alone time. Once he even knocked on the door trying to stay up, and he goes, but I never get alone time with just me. Can I stay up by myself? And we're like, no.
You are in your room.
You are alone. Go to bed. But so he's been asking if we could have quality alone time with him. And so we did.
We did.
You
and,
can tell him about that.
Well, you were gone at the beginning of it, but we...
That was the night the bloody nose incident.
Oh, it was the bloody nose.
I was gone.
Yeah, so surprisingly, even though I lost it and hulked out on him, I still knew that he was excited to have, you know, mommy daddy time, so I didn't like punish him for that or anything.
It was an accident.
It was an accident, but
silly one, but
so we, Grayson and I, played a video game while we waited for mommy to come home. And mommy came home, and she brought us a special ice cream treat. And so while we were eating our treat, we watched a show of Grayson's choice. And then when that was done, we asked him what he wanted to do with us. And he wanted to play a video game with the three of us.
We didn't really watch a show. We watched yo-yoing.
Oh, we watched YouTube videos. That's right.
Of championship yo-yoers.
Which was cool.
Because from our Barry's last business trip, he brought home yo-yos. So the kids are all like, cool, yo-yo. So.
Yeah.
Except now they're going to think they can do that stuff.
Yeah, I know.
So, anyway. So it was fun. We watched yo-yoing and then we played a video
then
game.
Then we played a video game, just the three of us.
Yeah.
And it was lots of fun. And then we sent him to bed. And now, But since Grayson got to stay up and have mommy, daddy time, now we have to have it with
the other kids are like, I want mommy, daddy time, which is good. I mean, it was a good thing.
Yeah.
I would love to make that a tradition.
It was fun.
So we just need to get over that, like, oh, so tired, just get mad.
Yeah.
So, but it was good.
Yeah. So, yeah.
My last story.
One last story.
Is another down, but I have to share it to make other moms and possibly dads feel better. I got behind on laundry and it got to the point where Lacey, our 3-year-old, came into the room and she's like, I don't have panties. Can you help me find panties? And I looked everywhere and I couldn't find anything, not even with her big sister. So my only option was to put on a pull-up, but I don't want to do that because that wastes money. Those are nighttime things. And so I got this genius idea and I went and checked Big Brother's room and there was one more pair left of Spider-Man underwear. And so I pulled it up and I was like, look, Lacey, you can wear these. And she's like, huh? And I'm like, Spider-Man, he's awesome. Everyone loves Spider-Man. It's so cool. And she's like, yay, Spider-Man. So she actually thought it was so cool that she kept trying to take her pants off all day to show everyone. That was a little awkward at the store. But, so that's how bad our laundry situation was. So I finally washed one load.
Yeah, woo!
I put everyone's panties and underwear in that load just to make sure. But I've been unusually busy this week with random stuff. So that's what I did. They had to wear their Big Brother's underwear.
Yeah.
So there, now you can feel better about yourself because you probably didn't stoop that low. And if you did, I feel ya.
Or tell us about it. So some of our stories of the week.
Yes.
So last week we talked about destructive communication, and this week we said we would talk about good ways to communicate.
Improving communication.
Improving your communication with your children and with others. Like,
yes.
This applies to your spouse, your family, and friends and coworkers, everybody.
Okay, so really fast, there's three main points that they give. And this is from our parenting class still.
Yes.
The first one is return good for evil, which I think is the hardest one. And so what it means is that when your kids are being disrespectful or talking, well, evilly or just totally mean to you, you keep your calm and you return it with love. And I think that is probably the hardest thing. Because when my kids talk bad to me or like Lacey this morning saying, I want Grace to go to bed. I want Grace to go back to bed. I just want to be like, I want you to go back to bed. But so that's the thing that's been the hardest is returning good for evil. So the next one is
look for the good in children. It says what? It says parents need to pay attention to their children, particularly when their children behave appropriately. If parents listen and talk with their children during good times, they will encourage healthy behavior. Parents should ignore obnoxious, inappropriate behavior when it is harmless.
Now, I remember visiting a family member and her 12-year-old was in the car with us.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And this 12-year-old was going on and on and on. And I had only at that time had one child.
We had one and one on the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, he couldn't even talk, really. And she was just going on about stuff on Facebook. And in my head, I was like, oh, my gosh, I want to shoot myself.
Be quiet.
Yeah, it was just so boring. And then so later, I had the mom alone. And I said, doesn't that just drive you crazy to listen to that? Like, how do you do that to yourself? And she told me, yeah, it's boring, but I love that she wants to talk to me. And I try and listen that way when.
For the important
things. Yeah, when the important stuff comes, she'll want to talk to me because she knows I'll listen. And that was so profound to me.
That's still stuck with you.
Yeah, I mean. Many years later, I have always looked at that like, I want to listen to my kids. I may not always do well. There's plenty of days where I look up and I'm like, oh, yeah. You're still talking?
That was another thing this week where Lacey, again, came and she was like, sat in bed with us in the morning again. It was Saturday morning. And she's like, once upon a time.
Yeah, that she just climbed in bed and started with that.
And went on for like a half an hour and 45 minutes. It felt
and
like.
Who was she talking about?
Her other mother.
Her other mother. I can't. Well, that was the worst Arnold.
Her other mother. Her
other mother. So it was actually interesting, though. It was an origin story.
Yeah.
Of how she came to be with us.
But by the end of it, I was just like, Lacey, go play. Go do something. But Crystal did a great job.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
At listening to her. And then Crystal shared this story about our family member.
Yeah. So that's just stuck with me. But like I was saying, there are days, most days, when I'm like nodding my head like I'm listening. And then I'll blink and be like, wow, I don't think I heard a single thing that they just said. But they feel like I'm listening. So I guess I need to work on the actual like connecting the brain to the ear instead of just nodding my head.
Yeah, well, and
because someday they're gonna catch on that I'm like zoning out, but I want to be like my sister-in-law. Yeah. Oh, I just said who it was.
Oh, that's okay.
But I want to be like this mysterious person and listen to my kids, even if I'm not interested, because I do want to be that cool parent that they can come to with anything.
Well, and here's a little bit about, because the next part's talking about listening to your children. It says, a child's feelings of anger toward a parent often quickly turn to love when the child is allowed to talk about the feelings without being condemned. Listening to the difficult feelings of children is a way of providing emotional first aid.
That's nice. And I feel like our kids are younger, so we don't have too many experiences with that.
Yeah.
But like even when Grayson slapped that girl, I wanted to be condemning and be like, dude, you're an idiot. But I feel like since I tried to be more, what was the word? I tried to be, just allowed to hear what he was saying.
Yeah.
That I felt like we solved the problem faster than we would have. And I probably would have caused a lot more emotional scars if I, Not that I hope I don't sound like I'm bragging. I'm just explaining my learning experience. So here are some quick principles that they offer to improve your listening.
Yeah, but I want to read this quote. His name is Russell M. Nelson. He says, "The time to listen is when someone needs to be heard. Children are naturally eager to share their experiences, which range from triumphs of delight to trials of distress. Are we eager to listen? If they try to express their anguish, is it possible for us to listen openly to a shocking experience without going into a state of shock ourselves? Can we listen without interrupting and without making snap judgments that slam shut the door of dialogue? It can remain open with the soothing reassurance that we believe in them and understand their feelings."
Well, I read that and I don't do that to you. Forget the kids, I don't even do that for you. Like, sometimes you come home from work and want to tell me something like, "Man, that was frustrating." And I'll be like, "Yeah, that is. You should do this and this and grr on that person," or, you know, and I don't really just sit there and let you let it out, which is really what you want to do. You don't want advice. Tables are turned there.
Yeah, so everyone can use that as...
Those are good questions to think about.
But how to be a better listener is you could use some of these things to help you. And the first one is to show interest and a willingness to listen.
Yeah, see, that's my thing. I'm willing to listen, but I'm not good at showing interest on some of my kids' things.
And my things.
If I hear another thing about Minecraft.
Or the Octonauts.
Yeah, or the Octonauts. Vegetable Christmas. That's our new thing. So I think just like 2 weeks ago, we said we love the Octonauts. And now it's like, ugh. Well, it's still kind of cute.
It is.
But our three-year-old only likes one episode. And we watch it like 3 or 4 times a day. And it's the Vegetable Christmas. So that's our here. Every day. As soon as we get back to the house, like if we go out on the way home, Lacey's like, "I want to watch Vegemal Christmas." So that's what we do. We watch Vegemal Christmas.
Yep.
But anyway, so I have to hear about Octonauts and Minecraft all the time.
Yeah, but it's, once again, going back to when you show interest.
It's like what I said about our family members.
Yeah, and what your kids are talking about, then they're going to want to come to you during those hard times too. So show interest in what your kids are saying and show that you are willing to listen to them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
the next one is ask questions that invite the child to talk. And I feel like that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Just try and keep the dialogue going.
Yeah. So just asking open-ended questions rather than closed-end questions. Now, closed-end question is, you know, if they can answer it with yes or a no.
Yeah, that's true.
Open-ended questions means they have to use some form of sentence structure to answer it. So,
well, and the examples they have are like, "Want to tell me about it?" or "How do you see it?" or "Tell me more." So those are good questions to remember.
Yeah.
Or statements.
And the next one is identify and name the child's feelings. So when the child is talking to you, try to identify what it is they're expressing. And
for example,
it says, "It hurt when John didn't invite you to his party, didn't it?"
So you're pointing out that they feel hurt.
So because depending on the different ages and the developmental stages of children, sometimes they don't understand what feeling they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes you need to point out like, "Oh, you feel hurt over this," and that's what you're feeling right now.
So some children grow up without hearing words that name their uncomfortable feelings.
Yeah,
I can't even imagine that.
Or they just classify everything as like bad. That's a bad feeling or a sad feeling.
Well, that's how we talked about that on our very first episode about bullying. That any feeling that you get from someone else that makes you uncomfortable is bullying. And so we're putting a name.
That's what the world says.
Anyway. So we're giving them one title that can explain away every negative feeling that they have.
Yeah.
But we can give them a whole, like, tool bag of words to help them understand what they're feeling.
There's more to it than just saying one thing.
And then the last one is listen actively by paraphrasing what the children says. And we kind of talked about this last week.
So it's like repeating back to them what they said, but in better words. Better in words that express the problem more appropriately.
Do you feel like you expressed that appropriately?
No.
but they say like the lowest form of this is repeating exactly back what they said. But here's the two examples they give, and I think that's interesting. So a child enters a room, slams a book on the table, and glares at the parent. And here's what the parent could say.
You're angry at me. I've done something you are unhappy about?
It's not really a question.
Oh, happy about. Sorry.
So you're pointing out that you recognize they're angry, and probably at you, because what teenager's not angry at their parents? And you're pointing out that they're unhappy, and it's opening them up to say what's going on.
Yeah, and the child comes home from school dejected.
And the kid says, I really blew it in chemistry today. The exam was terrible.
And then the parent says, you're worried that you didn't pass the exam.
Yeah, so that's kind of paraphrasing, repeating back. So those are some better ways to communicate. And we will... Did we miss one?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, okay.
One more. Is to respond non-defensively when the child is upset.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a hard time with this sometimes because I'm just like... If they're upset, I'm just like, yeah, stop being upset, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I just totally blow it off. Or you know... Or if the child's being verbally attacking me or something like that, I still get defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and this is good, but to expand on this even more is, we kind of mentioned it earlier, but to not be judging and overly shocked and freak out about when a child comes to you about something that you generally would not be happy that they did, like if they're admitting to something or...
Now, you say that, but that's not easy.
No, it's not. It's not an easy thing, but if we try to prepare ourselves for it, so...
We kind of sound like those parents before they have kids that think they're going to be the best parents ever.
Yeah, we're the best!
So it's like we're saying, yeah, when our kids come to us to tell us they did this horrible thing, we are going to totally be smooth and calm and cool.
I thought we handled the Grayson slapping the girl situation pretty well.
Yeah. But so, if he would have been by me when I heard it, it would not have been the same.
Yeah, like if we were at the park or at McDonald's or something.
And saw it.
And saw it. I think I would have, like, went belligerent on him.
Wow. Not abusive.
No. Just been like, blah, blah,
a turkey.
Yep. Evil, evil turkey.
You're gonna go turkey on his booty.
So just to recap really fast. So, things that you can do to help you to have better communication.
Recap.
Show interest and willingness to listen.
Ask questions that invite the child to talk.
Identify and name the child's feelings.
Listen actively by paraphrasing what the child says.
And respond non-defensively when the child is upset.
So if you are like us and struggling with any of those things on the destructive communication list. I always want to say deconstructive.
Yeah. You're not alone.
You're not alone, but you can improve just like we're trying to do.
Yeah, we're trying. It's parenting's hard and it's an ongoing process to learn and to be better.
But you can do it.
So
we can do it.
Yeah. So
we're trying.
So thank you for listening to the Clown Car. Parenting is hard and we believe you should get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our way is not the only way. Find what works for you. You are doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on Facebook and Twitter at The Clown Car. And email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. And make sure you subscribe, rate, and review our show on iTunes. Until next time, enjoy your circus.